Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Behold, your king comes to you, O Zion, meek and lowly, sitting upon an ass. Ride on in the cause of truth and for the sake of justice. Your throne is the throne of God. It endures forever, and the scepter of your kingdom is a righteous scepter. You have loved righteousness and hated evil. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellows. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, during Lent we have been preparing by works of love and self-sacrifice for the celebration of our Lord's death and resurrection. Today we begin Holy Week in union with the Church throughout the world, recalling how Christ enters his own city to complete his work as our Saviour, to suffer, to die, and to rise again. Let us go with him in faith and love, so that united with him in his sufferings, we may share his risen life. We're holding up the palm crosses to be blessed, which will be available after the service in the porch. God our Saviour, whose Son Jesus Christ entered Jerusalem as Messiah to suffer and to die, let these palms be for us signs of his victory, and grant that we who bear them in his name may ever hail him as our King and follow him in the way that leads to eternal life, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethpage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this: 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here immediately.'" They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, it was already late. He went out to Bethany with the 12. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. Let us go forth praising Jesus, our Messiah. Let us pray for a closer union with Christ in his suffering and in his glory. Almighty and everlasting God, who in your tender love towards the human race sent your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, to take upon him our flesh and to suffer death upon the cross, grant that we may follow the example of his patience and humility and also be made partakers of his resurrection. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen. Reading from the letter of Paul to the Philippians. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. It was 2 days before the Passover and the festival of unleavened bread. The chief priests and the scribes were looking for a way to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. One of them said,
"Let's not do it during the festival. There may be a riot among the people."
While he was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very costly ointment of nard, and she broke open the jar and poured the ointment on his head. But some who were there said to one another in anger,
"Why was the ointment wasted in this way? This ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii.
Yea, and the money given to the poor."
And they scolded her. But Jesus said,
"Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has been kind and done something beautiful for me. But you will always have the poor with you, and you can show kindness to them whenever you wish, but you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body before its burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever the good news is proclaimed in the whole world, What she has done will be told in remembrance of her.
Then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went to the chief priests in order to betray him to them. When they heard it, they were greatly pleased and promised to give him money. So he began to look for an opportunity to betray him. On the first day of the unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb is sacrificed, his disciples were wondering what they should do. So one of them said to him,
"Where do you want us to go make the preparations for you to go and eat Passover?"
So he sent two of his disciples, saying to them,
"Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him, and wherever he enters, say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is my guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there."
When it was evening, he came with the 12. And when they had taken their places and were eating, Jesus said,
"Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me."
They began to be distressed and to say to him one after another,
Surely not I.
"It is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the bowl with me. For the Son of Man goes as it is written of him. But woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one not to have been born."
While they were eating, he took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to them, and said,
"Take, this is my body."
Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and all of them drank from it.
"This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I tell you, I will never again drink the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it in the new kingdom of God."
When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives, and Jesus said to them,
"You will all become deserters, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee."
Peter said to him,
"These may become deserters, but not me."
"Truly I tell you, this day, this very night, before the cock crows twice, you will deny me 3 times.
"I will not deny you."
And all of them said the same. They went to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples,
"Sit here while I pray."
He took with him Peter and James and John and began to be distressed and agitated. And he said to them,
"I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and keep awake."
And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass for him.
"Abba, Father, for you all things are possible. Remove this cup from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want."
He came and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter,
"Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep awake 1 hour? Keep awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak."
And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And once more he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to say to him. He came a third time and said to them,
"Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Enough! The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of the sinners. Get up, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand."
Immediately, while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. And with him there was a crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests, the scribes and the elders. Now, the betrayer had given them a sign.
"The 1 hour kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard."
So when he came, he went up to him at once and said,
"Rabbi,"
and kissed him. Then they laid hands on him and arrested him. But one of those who stood near drew his sword and struck the slave of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus said to them,
"Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as though I were a bandit? Day after day I was with you in the temple teaching, and you did not arrest me. But let the scriptures be fulfilled."
All of them deserted him and fled. A certain young man was following him, wearing nothing but a linen cloth.
They caught hold of him, but he left the linen cloth and ran off naked.
They took Jesus to the high priest, and all the chief priests, the elders, and the scribes were assembled. Peter had followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest, and he was sitting with the guards, warming himself at the fire. Now, the chief priests and the whole council were looking for testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but they found none. For many gave false testimony against him, and their testimony did not agree. Some of them stood up and gave false testimony against him.
I heard him say, "I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and in 3 days I will build it again, not made with hands."
But even on this, some disagreed. Then the high priest stood up before them and asked Jesus,
"Have you no answer to what is said against you?"
But he was silent and did not answer. Again, the high priest asked him,
"Are you the Messiah, as they say, the Son of the Blessed One?"
"I am, and you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power, and coming with the clouds of heaven."
Then the high priest tore his clothes and said,
"We need no more witnesses. You have heard his blasphemy. What shall we do with him?"
All of them condemned him as deserving death. Some began to spit on him, to blindfold him, and to strike him, saying to him,
"Prophesy!"
While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. When she saw Peter warming himself, she stared at him and said,
"You also were with Jesus, the man from Nazareth."
But he denied it.
"I do not know or understand what you are talking about."
And he went out into the forecourt. Then the cock crowed, and the servant girl, on seeing him, began to say to the bystander,
"This man is one of them."
But again he denied it. Then, after a little while, the bystander again said to Peter,
"Certainly you are one of them, because you are a Galilean."
But he began to curse, and he swore an oath,
"I do not know this man."
At that moment, the cock crowed for the second time. Then Peter remembered that Jesus had said to him, "Before the cock crows twice, you will deny me 3 times. And he broke down and wept. As soon as it was morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. Pilate asked him,
"Are you the king of the Jews?"
"You say so."
Then the chief priests accused him of many things. Pilate asked him again,
"Are you the king of the Jews? Have you no answer? See how many charges they bring before you."
But Jesus made no further reply, so that Pilate was amazed. Now at the festival, he used to release a prisoner for them, anyone for whom they asked. Now a man called Barabbas was in prison with the rebels who had committed murder during the insurrection. So the crowd came and began to ask Pilate to do for them according to this custom. Then he answered them,
"You want me to release the man you call Jesus?"
For he realized that it was out of jealousy that the chief priests had handed him over. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release Barabbas for them instead. Pilate spoke to them again,
"Then what would you have me do with the man you call the king of the Jews?"
"Crucify him!"
"Why, what evil has he done?"
"Crucify him!"
So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released Barabbas for them. After flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified.
Then the soldiers led him into the courtyard of the palace, that is, the governor's headquarters, and they called together the whole cohort. And they clothed him in a purple cloak, and after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on him, and they began saluting him,
"Hail, King of the Jews!"
They struck his head with a reed, spat upon him, and knelt down in homage to him. After mocking him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him.
They compelled a passerby who was coming in from the country to carry his cross. It was Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus. Then they brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of a skull, and they offered him wine mixed with myrrh. but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his clothes among them, casting lots to decide what each would take. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. The inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two bandits, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads. One of them said,
"Ha! You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross."
In the same way, the chief priests, along with the scribes, who were also mocking him among themselves, one of them said,
"He saved others, but he cannot save himself. Let the Messiah, the King of Israel, come down from the cross that we may see and believe."
Those who were crucified with him also taunted him. When it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. At 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice,
"Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani?"
Which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" A bystander heard it and said,
"Listen, he is calling for Elijah."
And someone ran, filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a stick and gave it to him to drink, saying,
"Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down."
Then Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now, when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said,
"Truly, this man was God's son."
There were also women looking on from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James the Younger and of Joses and Salome. These used to follow him and provided for him when he was in Galilee. And there were many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem. When evening had come, and since it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself waiting expectantly for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate wondered if he were already dead, and summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he had been dead for some time. When he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the body to Joseph. Then Joseph brought a linen cloth and, taking down the body, wrapped it in the linen cloth and laid it in a tomb that had been hewn out of the rock. He then rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph saw where the body was laid.
This is the Passion of the Lord.
Hello, I'm Richard, and Matthew, your parish priest, perhaps in a rash moment, has invited me to accompany you on your Holy Week journey this year. It's a strange Holy Week for us because we're in lockdown, and I can assure you this is a very strange experience for me attempting to give a talk to a screen in my little attic study, 100 miles from where you are. But in a way, lockdown helps us to get Holy Week right, because this isn't a week when you need a preacher to proclaim or exhort. We just need to accompany one another on a journey. And my aim this week will simply to try and commentate, to interpret what's going on, because in Holy Week the liturgy of the church is what teaches us and forms us, and words are really superfluous. So I hope to say comparatively little, but allow our liturgy and our worship to speak for us. Holy Week in many ways is a fifth gospel. If you wanted to share with someone a glimpse of the good news of Jesus, inviting them to be with you on this week would be a good way of their experiencing and glimpsing everything that encapsulates the whole lifelong mission and ministry of our Lord. And Holy Week, remember, is a week and not two weekends. It's not something we dip our toes into on Palm Sunday and then come back when it's all over next week. This is a week in which our Lord faces alone his destiny, the moment of truth, the showdown with all the authorities which sought to obstruct and destroy him. And when someone we love goes through an ordeal, we hopefully will say to them, I'll come with you. I'll come with you to the hospital. I'll come with you and wait outside when you have that difficult interview. And Jesus invites us to come with him this week. And we remember that this week is when everything that Jesus had taught, everything he tried to embody and be, comes to a head. The showdown when Jesus enters Jerusalem, goes, if you like, to the heart of the matter. Jesus arrives in town. We remember that his brothers, his own family, had mocked him and urged him to go and show himself in the big city, never mind bothering us. And here is the moment when everything becomes frighteningly real. And this then is our moment of theatre, because we are bringing to life the texts of the Gospels. We are swept up into the action. And what's exciting about Holy Week for us is that we are no longer just listening to an account, a story. We are caught up into the drama of the event. The famous architect Walter Gropius, the leader of the Bauhaus movement in Germany in the 1930s and 20s and 30s, Gropius built or designed a theatre called Total Theatre in Berlin in 1927, in which he aimed at a complete transformation of the building by allowing the stage in the theatre to turn through 180 degrees. And the former proscenium arch becomes a central arena, entirely surrounded by the spectator, even during the play. And he says the attack on the spectator, moving him during the play and unexpectedly shifting the stage area, alters the existing scale of values, presenting to the spectator a new consciousness of space and making him participate in the action. That's the kind of thing that you've begun to do, I understand, in your meeting place gatherings each month. It's the kind of thing we did when I was in Huddersfield, where we redesigned St. Thomas's Church to be a place in which the people of God gather around word and sacrament, ambo and altar, and where we moved with the action to become part of all that was going on. So today, we see in the Gospel account of the entry into Jerusalem a sudden change of tempo. Jesus has been maintaining business as usual, teaching, healing, ministering to those in need, continuing on the road with his closest followers. And suddenly there's a shift to a decision time. When they were approaching Jerusalem, a little local movement becomes something on the national stage. This was a huge shift in everything that was around, surrounding Jesus. High profile, a grand entrance. Here is the moment we've been waiting for. The final confrontation with the authorities, a gauntlet thrown down. But of course, as always, Jesus turns everything on his head. We know from his teaching that he says the first shall be last, the last shall be first. When we cling on to life, we'll lose it. When we let go of life, we'll gain it. And the things of death become life, and life leads to our death. This Christian paradox is what Jesus teaches us to embrace, and in which we find truth. The hero, the rescuer, the Messiah does not ride into Jerusalem on a white charger, surrounded by crowds beating drums and playing trumpets. But he comes on a donkey, his feet hardly lifted from the ground, a mock grand entrance. Everything turned on its head, poking fun at all the preposterous pride of human vanity. So this is in fact how he liked it, reversing the world order, teaching us not just in his words, but in his actions, in his approach, in his body language, in everything about him. And as he enters, the crowds cheer him. Their words and their cries proving in the end to be fickle and to evaporate as the morning mist. In a week, they will be shouting, "Crucify him." But this is what Jesus must face, steeling himself for betrayal. This is why we need to say, "I'll come with you. I'll be there with you." And there is one final bit of business. Jesus went into the temple, and when he had looked around at everything, he left and retired to Bethany. We imagine the scene, a film director's delight, the stare of Jesus' penetrating eyes, the discomfort of the traders and the people violating the temple precincts, the threat of disruption. And then he drew back, retired with the 12 to Bethany, home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus, his home away from home, to wait a new day, to refresh himself for the battle ahead. And so we wait with him, maintaining our promise, "I'll come with you." I hope you'll stay with me these coming days so that we may explore together each step of the way as we accompany our Lord to the final consummation of everything that he has done for us and everything he now does with us today.
On this day, the crowds came out to welcome Jesus back to Jerusalem. waving palms and shouting Hosanna. Although we are unable to come together, as the church gathered both near and far, we pray for the church, for the world, for each other, and thank God for his goodness. Gracious God, if we as the church are truly to be the body of Christ, let us stand at the foot of the cross and learn what it means to love and to keep on loving, to serve and to keep on serving. We pray for Nick and Paul, our bishops, all clergy and people, and all those who confess your name, are united in your truth, and live together in your love. We pray for all those who have a calling to serve you in this place, praying especially for Matthew, and for all those who serve this church community in any way. We give thanks for all those who have prepared and will lead the Holy Week and Easter services. Praying especially this morning and giving thanks for Reverend Richard Giles, who will lead our devotions. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, if this community is to be a witness of your forgiveness and salvation, then help us to stretch out our arms to others. Help us to embrace and reconnect with all those who have been separated from church due to the pandemic. We pray for those who are fearful to return to worship and will feel isolated. We pray for all those who we love and care for in all our relationships, those which are easy, and for those which have been put under strain due to the present situation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, if this world is to be a better place, shaped by the love that you gave for it, then take away our greed and self-indulgence. We pray for all those who live in poverty, those who rely on food banks for meals or other charities to clothe themselves. We pray for those who have been given positions of authority, our local councillors, and the local and national government. Help the decision makers to be wise and humble, and to exercise their power fairly and without prejudice. Today we have been asked to pray especially for the charity Refuge, which works to support men, women and children who suffer from domestic violence. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, if your death on the cross was not in vain, then take away the physical and mental pain from those who suffer, many in silence. We pray for the homeless, the unemployed, those who suffer with addiction, those who are bound by depression or anxiety, We hold before you in prayer the many who are suffering still from COVID-19. For all nursing and healthcare staff who selflessly give of their time and skill to care for one another. We pray for those people who are ill in hospital, hospice, or at home at this time. Gracious God, give strength to the weary, peace to the frightened, and hope to the despairing. Especially at this time, we pray for those from our church congregation and community. George Brown, Ginny Camponi, Tom Heafy, Jennifer Mode, Christine Oates, Margaret Tomlinson, Jeff Blowers, Mary Metcalf, Ken Isles, Doreen Hoare, Margaret Burton, and Margaret Pawson. We pray for those who have made their last journey into the glorious kingdom and have passed through the shadow of death. Praying for those who have recently died, Alan McAdam, Doris Gray, and Brian Hawley. May they rest in peace and rise in glory. Keep safe in your continued presence all those whose anniversary of death occurs at this time, remembering by name John Peter, Jack Schofield, Albert Hope, Frank Taylor, and George Howden. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, if we are to be able to follow where you lead, listen when you speak, and feel your spirit moving around us, then open our hearts and minds to travel with you into the holiest of weeks, to be the image of Christ in all our doing, thinking, and speaking. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to God in one body by the cross. We meet in his name and share his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
My Savior's out.
Jesus, true vine and bread of life, ever giving yourself that the world might live, let us share your death and passion. Make us perfect in your love. Amen. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere, to give you thanks, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For as the time of his passion and resurrection draws near, the whole world is called to acknowledge his hidden majesty. The power of the life-giving cross reveals the judgment that has come upon the world and the triumph of Christ crucified. He is the victim who dies no more, the lamb once slain who lives forever, our advocate in heaven to plead our cause, exalting us there to join with angels and archangels, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We praise and bless you, loving Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And as we obey his command, send your Holy Spirit, that broken bread and wine outpoured may be for us the body and blood of your dear Son. On the night before he died, he had supper with his friends, and taking bread, he praised you. He broke the bread, gave it to them, and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When supper was ended, he took the cup of wine. Again he praised you, gave it to them, and said, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. So So, Father, we remember all that Jesus did. In him we plead with confidence his sacrifice made once for all upon the cross. Bringing before you the bread of life and cup of salvation, we proclaim his death and resurrection until he comes in glory. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Lord of all life, help us to work together for that day when your kingdom comes and justice and mercy will be seen in all the earth. Look with favour on your people, gather us in your loving arms, and bring us with Blessed Mary and all the saints to feast at your table in heaven. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory are yours, O loving Father, for ever and ever. Amen. Let us pray with confidence as our Saviour has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Look, Jesus Christ, the bread of heaven, is broken for the life of the world. Unite us in this sign. The gifts of God for the people of God. Jesus, bread of life, bread for the world, feed us with your presence. The body of Christ broken for us all. Amen. The blood of Christ shed for us all. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you humbled yourself in taking the form of a servant, and in obedience died on the cross for our salvation. Give us the mind to follow you and to proclaim you as Lord and King to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Amen. Faithful God, may we who share this banquet and follow you glory in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, our salvation, life, and hope, who reigns as Lord, now and forever. Amen. Father, who so loved the world that he gave his only Son, bring you by faith to his eternal life. Amen. May Christ, who accepted the cup of sacrifice in obedience to the Father's will, keep you steadfast as you walk with him the way of his cross. Amen. May the Spirit, who strengthens us to suffer with Christ, that he may share his glory, set your minds on life and peace. Amen. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Go in the peace of Christ. Thanks be to God.